Welcome to the Profitable Trading Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones, your host here with my good mate, other host, Phil Smith. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, good, good. Other host coming in. Ready to roll.
Mr. Smith. What are we into today, Mr. Smith?
We're talking about how most business owners think they've got a really good relationship with their team, but they're not actually having consistent and structured conversations. And, you know, a few things can go wrong there, like problems stay hidden, frustration builds quietly, good staff leave unexpectedly, and performance drops, and no one really knows why.
And so that's the you know, stopping the bad stuff. The real juice is you actually never get the best out of your team. You never really get them engaged and motivated and understand, you know, what makes them tick. So you end up guessing instead of leading, and that, I think that's a really dangerous place to be. And what we've seen is if you don't have your finger on the pulse, then you can, like you said, get blindsided by issues that have been building for months, and you're like, wow, I never saw that happening. It's like the guy whose wife leaves him. I never knew this was, you know, I never saw it coming. It's like, bro.
It's been happening for years.
You've been telling you the whole time.
That's
right. You weren't really reading the signs, and I think that happens in the employment relationship as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This kind of reminds me of that Blockbuster chat that you were having the other day.
Yeah, good old Blockbuster. I mean, in the early 2000s, Blockbuster was like the absolute king of movie rentals. I think they had 9,000 stores, billions of revenue. They were absolutely dominant. No one could actually see a world in which they weren't, you know, going to be the king.
Yeah, I remember there was a Blockbuster on every corner.
There was. It's
gotta love a Blockbuster Friday night.
Yeah, there's no Blockbusters anymore. Along came Netflix, and they were posting DVDs to people's homes, and it sort of kicked off. We know where Netflix went. Now, Netflix actually approached Blockbuster and offered to partner or even sell to them for about $50 million, and Blockbuster just laughed them out of the room. Hmm. Well, you know, because they weren't actually understanding what was going on. They didn't have the perspective. You know, all their stores were busy. Everything seemed okay, but underneath, people were frustrated. There were late fees, the inconvenience of going to stores, the limited availability of titles. And Netflix actually solved all of that stuff. So, you know, Blockbuster didn't see it coming. They didn't do anything about it. And obviously, we know what happened. It blew up. Netflix, you know, dominates. And the world's a very different place. And the similar thing can happen with your team. You think it's all good. You don't understand what their real issues are because you're not actually looking and spending the time to understand the situation. And things can go wrong real bad real quick.
Yeah, well, let's talk about some of the things that can go wrong.
Well, I think you get blindsided by resignations. This is tough as a business owner. You think things are good, and you have that, oh, boss, I just need to catch up with you this afternoon. You know what it is. You got that sick feeling in your stomach. It's like, this can't be good.
Yeah, well, whenever you get a text message that says, can we talk?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what relationship it is. Can we talk is not a good idea. Something's going to be bad.
It's not good. So
by the way, bro, can we talk?
We can.
Yeah, right, cool, sweet.
I'm quite excited about that. Yeah, there's some bad news. Happy days.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, and if you don't do this well, small issues turn into big conflicts, team members disengage, you assume everything's fine when it's not, productivity drops, and you get frustrated too because people aren't performing, so they're frustrated, you're frustrated. It's kind of like you're flying blind. You don't really know what's going on in the relationship, which is guesswork.
Yeah, makes things tough, man. Whereas on the other hand, you know, if we can actually do this right and start to do things a bit differently, check in with the team a bit more and do it in a structured way, a lot of upside. Yeah.
You catch issues early before they cost you money. Your team feels heard, valued, and motivated, and I think that's very important. They're more engaged. You build real trust. You know, not just surface like, oh yeah, we kind of have a beer and a pizza. It's like you actually get to know them as people. They feel heard and understood. I think that's important as a leader. Performance improves, you can set clearer expectations, you can coach people, you know, in real time. You develop future leaders in your business as well, which is really cool. You build a team and a culture where people want to stay, they want to grow with you, and they're really excited about the opportunity. So you go from sort of firefighting to really proactive leadership, which is the key to growing and scaling a successful contracting, home services, or trade business.
Yeah, 100%. And I think in this case, you know, we're talking about a session that we run with our team called The 20. Yeah. But there's going to be a lot of people listening that don't know what The 20 is. So let's unpack that.
Yeah, so The 20 is really a structured 20-minute one-on-one conversation that you have with each team member on a regular basis, and preferably weekly is best.
Yeah.
You know, because 20 minutes a week is not a lot to ask for a good employee, and it's a nice structured check-in that's scheduled because it keeps communication consistent, allows you to surface those issues, you can build trust over time and track performance, and it's very proactive. So that's really the what the 20 is. It's a structured one-on-one communication rhythm that's scheduled, that happens consistently, so you've got those communication channels that are open between you and your employees.
Yeah. One thing I want to touch on here, man, just before we get into actually what you talk about, is actually that rhythm and that frequency. So, like, we call this the 20 because it's 20 minutes, like you said. And like you mentioned there, it's regular and weekly is best. I want to really stress that weekly is not just best. It's actually what you have to do. Now, we often will have clients in our membership program that will ask, can I do this, you know, every 2 weeks, or can I do it monthly, quarterly even? And, you know, honestly, don't. It's a weekly meeting. And the reason for that is because, firstly, if you do it any less than weekly, it won't be 20 minutes. It's going to be 40 minutes to an hour, because you just have too much to catch up on over too long a time. So it's going to blow out. And at that point, you'll resent having to do it so often, because you're like, well, these aren't 20 minutes. These take an hour, and I've got all these people to do it with. This, you know, this is impossible. Whereas if you do it weekly, it'll be 20 minutes, because you don't have that much time between sessions, and so you don't have that much to catch up on. And so you can keep it snappy, keep it to 20 minutes, and get right to the juice of what's going on. The other thing is, if you do it less frequently, there's too much breaking down the barriers and, you know, breaking the ice before you can actually get to anything of substance. Whereas if you're doing this weekly, the frequency is what actually makes it work. So before we get into anything else, if you're thinking to yourself, hey, weekly sounds like a lot, if you're not going to do it weekly, it won't work. Like, the magic is in the frequency, and the magic is in the fact that it's weekly. So just wanted to make that point real strong.
Yeah, and I just want to jump in there, because I know if you're listening, you're thinking, flipping heck, I'm already too busy. How am I going to find 20 minutes a week for each of my team members? You know, maybe you've got 5 or 6 people. That feels like a lot of work. It's like, well, it is, but you have a choice. You can do the work of fixing up all the problems that come from poor communication, the dissatisfaction, the misunderstandings, the people resigning because they don't feel appreciated. Or you can upfront the work and create a great team where people are on board, they're motivated, excited, engaged, and productive. You have a choice. And people who grow and scale a business, they're proactive, and they understand that this is the highest value activity you can perform as a leader, is actually being a leader and demonstrating leadership, which is actually 100%. Communicating with people. So this is massively important. And if you've got 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 people in your team, well, clearly you're not going to do all of these.
No.
It's the role of the employees.
Direct manager.
Their line manager will do this job. So
yeah. So you only do the 20s with people that report directly to you. Yep. And everybody else gets their 20 with whoever they report directly to, and so on and so forth. So, like, ideally, one manager wouldn't have more than 6, 7, maximum 8 direct reports. And so as a result, like, you know, like, it's never actually too much. And like you said, you can choose your heart.
That's right.
Trust me, it is a lot less time to do 20 minutes with 5 or 6 people per week max than to do all of the time and work and effort and stress of, you know, cleaning up all the problems from not doing this. So, again, choose your heart. Up to you.
Yep.
But doing this is easier. Trust me.
So you're a gun at the 20s. So how are they structured?
Well, you've got a few key areas. So the main areas is, like, firstly, you're going to go through wins. Secondly, you're going to talk about focuses and challenges that they have for their week. Thirdly, you're going to check in on their KPIs. Fourthly, you set some goals for the week. And then fifth, you talk about any feedback. And this goes both ways. It's feedback from them about how they're going, feedback from you about how you think they're going. But just to, you know, before we break into each one of these, the overarching thing you need to remember is this is about them. This is their time. And so it's not about you pushing an agenda. It's about them and you learning about them, you working on them, you helping them, you supporting them, you coaching them, you getting them on track and getting them clear. It's their session. And so I think that's just a really important frame to go into this with, because I think sometimes we can forget that, right? And we can think, hey, this is about me. I've got stuff I want to talk to them about. It is about them. So remember that. So start with the wins. The reason we start with wins is pretty simple, is we want to kick off on a positive and help them to reflect on stuff that they have done well or that they are getting momentum in. I think reality is, in life, we don't do this enough. And it's one of the most powerful things that we can do. You know, we told the story of the mountain climbers before. You know, two guys climbing a mountain. It's been days. It's going to be days and days worth of a climb. They get about halfway up, 3 days in, two guys. One guy is distraught. He wants to go down. He's over it. He's had enough. The other guy is pumped. He can't wait to get up in the morning and keep cracking on with this mountain. And the difference is which direction they're looking, right? So the guy who's distraught, he's looking up the mountain. All he sees is how far they have to go. And, you know, he's thinking, I'm already tired. I've already had enough. And we still have so far to go. The guy who's pumped is looking down the mountain. He's thinking about how far they've come, everything they've achieved so far, and how it's all been worth it. And he can't wait to keep going. And I think the reality is we don't look down that mountain enough. And so you're going to help them to do this by reflecting on what's gone well over the past week. And this is not just things that have been a win, like had a result. This can be momentum or progress. And I think that's something we want to focus on.
Now, it could be as simple as like a job that they did well, or a customer they dealt with, or something they've learned, or a new piece of equipment they've used. Could be anything.
Could be anything at all. Something, yeah. And I think the reality with this is that at first people struggle because we don't do this naturally. And so I think they might say, oh, I haven't really had many wins. Or they say, I got that one good review. And you say, yeah, cool, that's fine. What else? And they'll say, well, nothing else. Which you're going to have to dig this out a little bit. We'll say, well, come on, what have you learned? You know, is there anything that you've tried that worked out very well? Is there anything you feel like you've got a little bit better at? And you might have to probe a bit to really get them to add to this. But what you'll find is over time, they're going to get better and better and better at coming up with a list of wins because they actually start to rewire their brain to look for these wins. And when they know they have to bring a list every week, that means that they're going to make more note of these throughout the week. They're going to think about their wins more often. And so they actually subconsciously start to experience those wins in real life and in real time, which really helps them to stay motivated and excited and engaged with what they're doing. And so you're actually doing them a massive service by doing this as well and helping to rewire their brain to a more effective place. So you start with the wins and then we move on to challenges. So basically challenges is challenge and focuses. So with this, it's not a laundry list of everything that they're doing this week. And I think that can be a common misconception. It's not, hey, I'm focused on this job, then this job, then this job, then this job. It's what are they working on right now in order to improve? So there might be a specific skill or behavior that you've been talking about or that they've been wanting to improve in. So they talk about that. They talk about where they're getting stuck and they talk about any challenges that they've had. So, hey, at the moment I might be dealing with another guy in the team. Let's call him John. And let's say me and John are not getting on so well, or we're butting heads on site, or maybe I'm having problems with one of the clients that we've had, or maybe I had a complaint about me and I want to talk about how I can improve on that. Or maybe there's a skill deficiency I have and I'm struggling with it. And so this is where you will discuss what their challenges are, what they're stuck on, where they need help. And then obviously you have an opportunity to talk about that, unpack it, and potentially coach them on how they could do things better, give advice, and really just help them move past any limiting beliefs there as well. So this is a very, very important part for their development and for them to also reflect, because I think a lot of the time, just like with wins, we often don't actually, we know we might struggle with something and then we just kind of put it out of our mind. And as a result, you never get better at that thing. Whereas if you're forced to bring this to a meeting and discuss it every week, then not only are your wins front of mind, but your development is front of mind as well. And this is very powerful.
Yeah, I think the key thing here is, as you said, it's not just about the jobs you're working on. It's almost like the meta skills, or like your development as an employee. So, skills, attitudes, the stuff that will apply to all of your work, not just a particular job. And it does take a little bit of time to get people thinking that way because they've never really been exposed to it.
And again, your first few 20s you do with someone might not get to the depth that you're actually looking for.
They can be awkward as well.
And that's okay. Yeah. That's okay, because remember, they are developing the skill of reflection here as well. And so this is, again, where frequency comes back. If you're only doing this once a month, they're never actually going to get the momentum to get better at doing this. And then you'll think, well, this is not really worth it because we never really get to anything of substance. And, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whereas if you just did it weekly, the first few are kind of awkward. They're getting used to it. But it really opens up and they start being really quite reflective and results-focused, momentum-focused, development-focused, which is massive for them doing better at work, but it's also massive for their engagement, so they feel like they have a future here.
Yeah. And you get better at this as well, which is you develop your leadership skills as you do this more, which is important.
Absolutely. Which brings us to section 3, which is KPIs. So hopefully you've got KPIs and KPAs for your team. If you don't, we've done separate episodes on that. You can review it. But essentially, this is where they have some key results or deliverables that they are responsible for. Obviously, with this, you would have tracked those. And you'll have their results, like how have they stacked up versus what they were trying to achieve. And you'll just review these. And again, like, it's not a beating tool. This is not an opportunity for you to say you failed here, 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 and here. It's an opportunity to, see how they've been performing and talk about where they could do better and how they could do better. It's a constructive conversation that's based around just making sure that they are on track, that they understand the expectations you have of them, and that they are meeting or exceeding those expectations. And if not, why not? And how can we fix it? That way you keep them performing, you keep them engaged because they know they're winning, and you don't have any kind of like weird conversations that come up where you say to them one day off the cuff, hey, you haven't been performing for months, and they go, really?
What?
I thought I was. Or they come to you and say, hey, I feel like I'm not getting any better, and you say, oh, really? I had no idea. because you're checking on this weekly and talking about their performance weekly, it means there are no surprises. You know, there's no out of the blue conversations about them underperforming, overperforming, wanting more money or wanting, you know, a different job or you wanting to get rid of them. None of this is a surprise because you're talking about it weekly. And so I think it's a very, very powerful thing just to make sure that, you know, your employee relations are strong, but their performance is strong.
Yeah, the thing that breaks down relationships, any sort of relationship, and particularly employment relationships, is unmet expectations. And, you know, if you're not communicating, then people's expectations are different employee to employer, and they think they're doing a good job, you think they're not. So if you communicate regularly, you're always checking in with the expectations and resetting those expectations, which is where the real power with this comes.
Yeah, and again, you need that opportunity to set those expectations. Yeah. And I think, you know, too often we think, well, I set expectations at the start. You know, I thought if they changed, I'd let you know. but that reminds me of a guy that we both know. And I remember he once said that, you know, his wife told him, hey, you don't tell me you love me anymore. And he said, well, I told you when we got married. I thought I'd just let you know if that changed. Look, that wouldn't fly, would it?
Bad move.
No, bad move. Now, it is the same with your team and expectations. In fact, it's the same with anyone and expectations. They need to be constantly, you know, reinforced, reset, and reminded. And if you don't have a forum to do that, you just won't. And if you don't, then people will fail to meet those expectations from time to time. If that goes on too long, it becomes you hold contempt for them. And the minute contempt comes into this or resentment, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, there's no coming back from there.
Yeah.
And so this is very, very crucial.
I think just to jump in, the thing about leadership is that it requires time and that requires schedule.
Yeah.
And the 20 is a way you schedule your leadership to make sure it happens.
Yeah. Well, that's, we always say, like, tell me the problems in your business and I'll show where they sit in your calendar.
That's right.
You know, like, and so the reality is if you're not scheduling time in your calendar to be a good leader, you're not going to be a good leader. It's really that simple.
Yep.
You know, like, so up to you. Number four is goals. Now, this is just getting really pointed with what you want to achieve between this 20 and next week's 20. So usually I would get one of my team members to set 3 goals for the week, just 3. Sometimes they'll only have 2, and there might be 2 really impactful goals, but I won't let them get away with just 1. If they come and they have 5 or 6, I'll be like, nah, bro, bring it down to 3. But it's setting 3 really intentional goals that they want to have achieved between now and the next time we meet, which will be next week. What that does is it means that next week when we meet, I can just check in really quick. So when we go through the goals section, I'll say, hey, last week you said you were going to do this, this, and this. Did you get them done? Obviously if they did, we celebrate, high fives, bum slaps. If they didn't, then we're like, hey, what went wrong? You know, how can we make sure that we get these done this week, or have your priorities shifted? And we can talk about that. Then what they'll do is they'll set 3 goals for this week and we'll check in on them next week. And obviously I might push them a bit. Hey, is that goal realistic? Do you think you could actually get that done? Do you think you're shooting too high? Do you think you're shooting too low? Make sure that this is something they can achieve. And the idea with this is that if they can achieve 3 powerful things every week, man, think about where they're going to be in a year. Like, this is very, very impactful because, you know, progress and momentum are incremental. And so we're just keeping track and accountability of that incremental improvement. And that's really what it's all about. And then we come to my favorite bit, which is feedback. And like I said, this goes both ways. Now, this could be about anything. We often call this the golden 10. Mm. And the reason for that is because you're often going to take about 10 minutes of the 20, so about half, to get up to this point, which leaves you with about 10 minutes left. And this is where you have an open forum to give each other feedback and to learn about each other, ask about how things are going. And so obviously this is giving feedback about business and how they're actually performing. This is giving feedback about how they're fitting in culturally. This is them giving you feedback about your leadership. And it's you asking them how they're going in their life and learning about them. And this is where you can, you know, this really accumulates as well.
Yeah, this is gold, isn't it? Because you might find it, hey, they're having, you know, a lot of these young guys having relationship problems or money problems, and this stuff can come up, and you know, if you've got a little bit more experience in life, you can often just help them, even if it's just for them to have a space to talk about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe offer a few suggestions. And when you start getting to that level with people, that's where the magic starts to happen, because you're seeing them as a real person, they feel heard as a real person, they know that you've got their back, and that you're on their side, and the trust level is really high.
Yeah, the emotional safety is massive, which
massive.
Some people might hear the word emotional safety and think, oh, that's a bit fluffy. It's not. It's really not. Basically, the reality is if you work full-time, you spend more time at work with your colleagues than anyone else in your waking hours. And so you need to be able to trust the people that you're with and feel that sense of belonging and feel this is the place for me. And part of that's being able to share the good times and share the bad times too. And, you know, you can show genuine care here as well. I would really recommend taking notes, you know, like, so if I was doing a 20 with you, Tony, and you told me, hey, I'm having problems at home for XYZ reason, I'd make a note of that. And then next week, I'm going to make sure I bring it up. I check in, how are you going with that now? You know, hey, is your dad out of hospital? Hey, how's he doing now? Hey, what's the next steps? Like, is there any way I can help? Is there anything I can do to support you? You know, that kind of stuff. It really, it shows you care. And it shows that you really want the best for them, which it means they'll give it back to you. People are very strong with reciprocity. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, if I'm willing to check in on you, if I care about you, you're going to care about me, and we're both going to have a better relationship and better performance as a duo. So I think this is really, really important. Not to mention, it's also a time when a lot of the time we're talking about performance, you know, we're talking about actions and skills. But one massive part of being a strong company is culture. And so sometimes someone might not be quite living your values the way that you want. And this is an opportunity to talk about that. Hey, Tony, I saw the way that you dealt with this last week. This, you know, generally really cool, but this was not world-class, and that's one of our values. Like, what do you think you could do better to make sure world-class comes through in everything you do? Like, we can talk about that now. And I can also check in on your long-term goals. You know, how are you tracking towards that house you want to buy? How are you tracking towards that, you know, those investments you want to make? How are you tracking towards that marriage you want to have, whatever it might be? But we can talk about your long-term goals and development. And finally, we can talk about just how you're feeling, which seems really open, but I can ask very specific questions such as, Tony, what are you tolerating right now? Like, if you could change one thing about this business, what would it be? Tony, you know, if there was one of your colleagues that you wish was better at something, who would that be and what would you wish they were better at? And we can talk about this. And it really helps to make that glue between the entire team, and for them to feel valued, you know, respected, wanted, and like you care about their performance and development, which is so huge for employee engagement. And an engaged team member is always going
to
crush it.
Yeah, and so like you said, you can use the 20 to give feedback about cultural, the values of your business. The cool thing about the 20, in and of itself, it is a cultural statement. And it shows that values are important to you, because almost every business will have values of honesty and integrity or something around that. And doing a 20 is a way of demonstrating that, you know, you're able to have open and honest communication with people and feedback. So it's so powerful for not only talking about the cultural values, but it's actually a mechanism by which you build the culture in your business. Because let's face it, most businesses and business owners and leaders feel they're too busy to do this. And as a result, they have poor teams, poor cultures, poor productivity, you know, more employee turnover, and things are tough. Those people who do this, it's the opposite.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, because I mean, I think it's easy to make mistakes with this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of the biggest mistakes to avoid.
Yeah, the big mistakes are making it a performance interrogation, which is like, it's a dumping ground for you to express your frustration with them. Now, that's very toxic, and you have to avoid that at all costs. Doesn't mean you don't talk about things that are a challenge, but don't, you know, use the first three sessions to dump on them. Which is a terrible idea.
It's not a performance review.
No, it's an opportunity to have a discussion. So the next one, this is absolutely critical, and this is the biggest mistake people make, is cancelling or skipping the sessions, which is basically breaking the commitment you've made to your employees where you've told them they're important enough to have some time with you. Now, if you think about, you know, if they're ready and in the morning it's like, hey, oh, I'm too busy this today, we can't do it, how are they going
to
feel?
Yeah, push it to tomorrow, or honestly, even reschedule to later today. It's not all right. And the way I think about this is, it's like with your kids. Like, if I told one of my kids, hey, we're going to have a daddy date today, and you know, I'm going to pick you up from school, and we're going to go and do XYZ, and it's going to be awesome. One-on-one, your time. And so they're like, wow, my time. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be so good. And if you've got multiple kids, you know, a one-on-one date is a big deal for them. And then, you know, the time comes, and then I'm not there to pick them up. Mum turns up and says, oh, hey, Dad's had to, you know, work late, and he's not going to be there, but he might be able to do later on tonight. They'd be devastated. Yeah. I mean, even though it's still going to happen later, they'll be devastated. Or, hey, Dad can't do tonight, it's going to be tomorrow now. They'll be devastated, because what you've just subconsciously told them is something else more important than you has come up. And the thing is, we think that our team are adults and that they'll get it, but they're not. We're all kids at heart, and I think the reality is we all still feel that way. And I always say, if you take any parenting book and replace the word child with employee, it still makes perfect sense and is the best management book you'll ever read. I think the reality with this is that every time you reschedule or you push a 20 or you skip it, even worse, you've just told that employee that other things are way more important than you. And even though I said this is your time, it's not. It's actually my time that you are, you know, privileged with, which is going to absolutely destroy trust.
And the thing about this is people feel important and special if you are willing to put your time into them.
Mm.
And so that makes them feel good, and that's important. So that's a big, big mistake.
Yeah.
Third one is talking more than you listen. Like, that's a big mistake. And often we as leaders talk more than we listen. Sometimes this can be difficult because, you know, the people we're leading aren't particularly chatty, but you've got to give them time. And just be comfortable with that. Next thing is not acting on what's shared. Like, if there's something you need to do, or, you know, some commitment you've given, you need to stick to that, because commitments made as trust built. You know, commitments broken is trust destroyed.
Definitely.
So that's critical. And the last thing is treating it as a tick the box exercise. Now we do see this sometimes, and you know, I've done these, and sometimes you feel like that. It's like, I've got all this stuff to do. Let's tick the box on this. And so you do a very surface level job. It's very important before you go into this session, this leadership session, to take a deep breath, get yourself present, and really focus your time and attention on that, because they are valuable. And they are, you know, your employees are the means through which you create leverage in your business, that you grow a great business for you and for them. So this is critical.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, being consistent and being focused and present is unbelievably important here. Otherwise, this will have the reverse effect of what you intended it to do.
Yeah, and I think, again, with that presence, it's like, think about it like as if you were taking one of your kids on a solo date. You know, so I'm taking my daughter for one on Friday, and you know, the reality is that when I do that, I'm gonna leave my phone at home, and the reason is because if my phone rings, I'm not gonna sit on the phone while I'm out with her. That's, you know, that'd be terrible for her. And it's the same. Remember, like, this is their time, and it's not about you taking phone calls or being distracted. Kill the distractions. Be present. Be there for them. Respect their time, because that's what it's about.
There's actually one other mistake which I neglected to mention, is lack of preparation. And so you really want your team members to prepare for this beforehand, and fill in. Like, we have a template that we give our members to do this with. It's called the 20, as we said. So you get the team member to fill that in and actually send it to you beforehand, because that means that you're teaching them to take it seriously. Do a bit of preparation, because, you know, preparation makes us so much better. And so if they come prepared, you can look at it beforehand and be prepared as well. So I think that helps massively.
That's massive. I'm glad you remembered that, because that is a critical point. So I think, to round it out, like, why does this work so well?
Well, I think it solves a core problem, is that you don't know what you don't know. And in a growing business, that's what hurts you. So you've got to have a real simple, repeatable, structured way to actually stay connected with your team, to keep them engaged, to build the culture. And this is unbelievably important as you scale.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you've got a smaller business, you'll do this. But as you grow, you delegate it to your managers, you know, your operations manager, your foreman, you know, your office team. Your office manager will do this for the office team. And if you've got a really big business, your GM might do it for his or her direct reports. So, and you teach them how to do it well. You teach them how to be leaders. And then that allows you to keep control of the whole business. Not only identifying the issues there, but actually driving a productive culture, because it's two things. It's, you know, it's the prevention of issues, but actually maximizing the potential of your employees as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we made some good points. Should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So if you want a better team, don't wait for the problems to show up. Build a system that brings them to the surface early. Now, the 20 might only take 20 minutes, but it will literally save you years of frustration and pain. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.